Now looking to the Lord for all needed help, I'd ask you to turn with me to the 8th chapter of the Gospel according to John, and considering this evening the 12th verse. The 8th chapter of the Gospel according to John, and the 12th verse. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Then spake Jesus again. We read in the second verse that early in the morning, the Lord Jesus Christ came again into the temple, and all the people, that is, the people that were there, came unto him, and he sat down and taught them. What a wonderful place it must have been to hear the teaching of this greatest preacher the world will ever know, the Lord Jesus Christ. But then an interruption takes place. The scribes and Pharisees, this is a particular group of scribes and Pharisees, bring to him a woman. And there's no doubt as to the guilt of her case. She is taken in the very act of adultery, and the law demands that she be stoned to death. But they come tempting the Lord Jesus Christ. Here is to them an impossible question, which they feel sure that they're going to trap him upon. But it shows that these men were in darkness and had no light upon the glorious truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. They were ignorant of the whole plan of salvation. And Jesus seems to ignore them and writes on the ground as though he heard them not. But when they continue putting this before him, he answers with a very short sentence. He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. What's the significance here? Well, I believe it's this, that there is a way of salvation because all mankind had fallen into sin. All are guilty before Almighty God. All deserve eternal punishment. And although this woman is taken in a particular act of uncleanness, yet these who accused her were not without sin themselves. But they didn't understand the scriptures. And again, it's remarkable how many times we come across this, that these Pharisees and Sadducees that prided themselves on the knowledge of these scriptures were so often ignorant of what the scriptures were all about. They were in darkness. They had no light. And so they couldn't understand that the Messiah, the promised Messiah, who was written about throughout all the scriptures, came to save sinners. But those who knew themselves to be sinners, these proud, arrogant men, thought that they were above sin. Thought that they were God's people and had no doubts as to their eternal security. And it just shows how they were deceived. And not only they, but countless millions through the ages of time have been deceived, and there are many today that are deceived into thinking that they are Christians when they do not know the true Christ, when they have no sweet assurance that Christ has paid the price of their sin and brought in for them an everlasting righteousness. So the Lord Jesus Christ, after these have gone out, and the woman standing there alone, that is, apart from the crowd who he was first speaking to, "Woman, where are thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee?" She said, "No man, Lord." And Jesus said unto her, "Neither do I condemn thee. But listen to this." He says, "Go." He doesn't say, as in another case, "Go in peace." He says, "Go and sin no more." The Lord will not excuse her sin. She must prove by a new and regenerated life that she no longer has the desire to sin against Almighty God. So the beginning words of our text, "Then spake Jesus again," after the interruption, he again began to teach the people. "Then Jesus spake again unto them," that is, those that had gathered around him, those that were interested to hear what the Lord Jesus Christ has to say to them. And I trust this is why we have ventured to the house of God tonight, because we desire to hear what the Lord Jesus Christ may be pleased to say to us. Because in speaking to one, we are speaking to all. And as the Lord says, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." If we have not ears to hear, then we will not hear. Now Jesus says unto them, "I am the light of the world." I am the light of the world. And we need to dispel the meaning of the word "world." Christ is the light of the world in two respects. In the opening chapter of John's Gospel, it says in verse 3, "All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. In him was life, and the life was the light of men." Man is given a natural light. By that we mean that he was given a natural understanding. He is given a conscience, and he knows, if he searches his conscience, the difference between good and evil. But man is able at times to numb his conscience, or to override his conscience. And so we find in the world today such wickedness. And wickedness in the Bible is sin. It is darkness. Man prefers darkness rather the light. And so there is a natural understanding, there's a natural light. And men and women can read the scriptures of truth, and they can gain a natural understanding of what is written there. They can discuss and debate. They can argue points of doctrine. And they can see all manner of things found in the Word of God. And yet if it's only natural light, they're still in darkness. Gross darkness the people. And it is a solemn condition, especially those who attend a place of worship, those who think that they're doing God's service, those who have a form of worship, and yet it is evident by their walk and conversation that they know not Christ. They do not obey his will. They do not accept his commandments. They reject in so many ways the teaching of scripture. And they argue against, they pervert the scripture so that it reads what they want it to read, not what it does read. And again, I say, this is why we have so many versions today. And several that have been brought out in the last few years have been taken from the Catholic Bible. There is a great move in so-called Protestant churches toward Rome. And it is frightening in one sense, when we think of it naturally, that there is a turning away from the truth of God's word to the errors which have been propagated throughout the centuries. And these people see nothing wrong in departing from the truth. When Jesus says, "I am the light of the world," then he also is speaking of the spiritual light. And the spiritual light is given only to those who are truly converted, to those who are the children of God, to those who are called by grace divine, to those who have been humbled under the mighty hand of God, to those that have the will to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. For he goes on to say, "He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." But the Lord Jesus Christ said to them of old, "Ye will not come to me that ye might have life." It was not in their will to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. They rejected him. They rejected his teaching. They rejected his very person. And it culminated in him being put to death. And the crowd crying out, "Crucify him, crucify him." And a Gentile, Pilate, says, "Shall I crucify your king?" And they deny that they have a king. "We have no king but Caesar. We're content to fall under what Caesar commands us." But who is this Christ? Who is this Lord that we should obey him? We will not have Christ Jesus to reign over us. And so you see how today, by rejecting the scriptures, they are tantamount to saying, "We will not have this man, Christ Jesus, to reign over us." And why is that? Because they are in darkness. They have no light. But the Holy Spirit is sent to illuminate mankind. That is, God's covenant people. And again, you'll notice in this verse, as it is in so many verses, that the Arminians want to pervert, there is that which follows. People are so willing to accept a partial statement, and they don't want to read the rest. But here again, then spake Jesus unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. He that followeth me. What is it to follow the Lord Jesus Christ? It is to deny this world and the pleasures of time and sense. To come out from everything that is worldly and carnal. What is it to follow the Lord Jesus Christ? It is to be devoted unto him. It is to acknowledge him as our Lord and our Master, our God, whom we obey. To walk in following the Lord Jesus Christ is to have light upon the road that will lead us to glory at last. Again, we may take an illustration from the children of Israel as they went from Egypt unto the promised land. They followed the cloud. When the cloud moved, they moved. When the cloud remained, they remained. They were obedient to that direction that was given unto them. And so we also must be obedient to the Lord Jesus Christ. We must follow only him. If we are to be found in the light, then we need a guide. We need one to go before us. Those that are wanting to, say, climb Mount Everest will be foolish to do it on their own, never having climbed before. They soon would perish upon under those severe conditions. But there are Sherpas to guide the people. And these are experienced men. They know the conditions. They know the route to go. And they have been there before. So how much more the Lord Jesus Christ knows the way, because he can say, I am the way. And you'll notice here, those two words, I am. And again, if we refer back to the children of Israel in Egypt, when Moses was commanded to go and deliver the people, then Moses said to the Lord, who shall I say has sent me? And the answer that was given unto him was, I am that I am, the all-sufficient God. And so the Lord Jesus Christ takes up the words of prophecy concerning the Messiah, and he says, I am the light. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the water of life. I am the bread of life, sent down from heaven, with reference to the manna that came down day by day that the children of Israel went to pick up. I am the light. Now, God's people walk in Christ's light. But Christ himself is the light. And without light, we cannot see the way to go. A blind man in a strange city needs someone to help him. He's unable to find his way. When it's pitch dark, even though we might know a certain way, yet we can go horribly wrong because it seems so different at night. How can we ever come to heaven if we're following blind leaders of the blind? How can we ever get to heaven if we cannot find the way? How can we ever get to heaven if we choose, as it were, a wrong guide? If we follow man rather than following God? I am the light of the world. So this word world, as we find it written so many times in the Gospel of John, the word world is sometimes taken in a comprehensive sense, meaning all mankind. At other times, it's taken in a restricted sense, when it means a particular people. And I think I've said to you before, we can speak of the world of music, those that are involved in the world of music. Well, not everyone is involved in the world of music, or take anything. Not everyone is involved. What about the world of the wicked? Are not all the wicked comprehended there? And so this word world, I am the light of the world, is explained in the following sentence. And when we search the scriptures, when we want to understand what particular words mean, we must always look at it in the context in which it is written. We mustn't take isolated words out of context. And how many do that? God so loved the world. And they say, there you are. God loves everyone. Well, why did he punish some to eternal misery? Why did he bring in the flood to destroy the wicked? Why did he bring fire down from heaven upon Sodom and Gomorrah? Why did he permit one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, to hang himself and go to hell? No, God doesn't love everyone. He loves his people, and he loves them with a particular love. It is the world, then, of the elect, the world of the chosen, the world of those that are ordained unto everlasting life. He that followeth me is tantamount to saying, he that believeth in me. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. And if we cannot please God, will God be our guide? Will he be our teacher and our leader? No, he will reject us and cast us aside. And so it is to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ with all our heart and with all our mind and with all our being. It is to love him. God is designated in the first epistle of John as God is love. It's what God is, what Christ is. And here, this is what Christ is. He is light. and outside of Christ, everything is darkness. When we want to do something or go somewhere, we need light to direct us. If we want to go to heaven, we must follow the light that is given unto us. And the Jews, the Pharisees and the Sadducees are without excuse. Their scriptures time and again speak of God's servant. Isaiah chapter 42 begins, "Behold my servant, whom I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth, the Lord Jesus Christ." And then in the sixth verse, he says, "I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness, and will hold thine hand, and will keep thee, and give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light of the Gentiles." And again in chapter 49, and the sixth verse, "And he said, it is a light thing that thou shouldest be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserved of Israel. I will also give thee for a light to the Gentiles, that thou mayest be my salvation unto the end of the earth." We could go on in Isaiah, "Arise, shine, for the light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon us." Even in the last book of the prophets, in the book of Malachi, the Son of Righteousness, he says, shall arise with healing in his wings. And so they are without excuse, and we are without excuse. If we do not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he is that Messiah that was promised in the Old Testament scriptures, and that he declares himself to be that Messiah, and we are not to doubt what the Word of God says to us. "I am the light of the world, and he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness." He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness. We have a promise there that those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and seek him to be their leader, he will ever give them the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. They will have light upon their road. That doesn't mean to say that the light at time may be dim because of their unbelief. But that light will never fail them. It will bring them through to the end. If you read Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress and all the difficulties that Christian had on the journey to the celestial city, you'll get some comprehension of what this means. When he looked to the Lord Jesus, when he looked to the light, then everything went well. When he turned his eyes aside, then things seemed to go against him. But did it prevent him reaching his goal? Did he not at last come to glory? Is it not recorded of him that he entered within those pearly gates into the kingdom of God in heaven? And so we can rest, or we can rely upon the light that God gives unto his people. "I am the light." And so we need to look no further than the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. But we do need to look to him. And we need to look to him continually. that we might have the light of truth. How can we have understanding unless we have light upon the passage of Scripture? And hasn't the Lord given means whereby we may learn these things? He's given the Holy Spirit, that those that ask him will be given all that they need to know. Is it not the Holy Spirit who ordained men to write these things? Is it not the Holy Spirit that has preserved the word through the ages of time? And so he is able to give us light. But the Lord has given other means. He's given the preaching of the gospel. He's taught his servants that they might teach the people. And we are to respect the preaching of the gospel when the preaching is ordained of God. When one of God's own sent servants is sent to preach, to give light upon the truth. And how many times have you gone away from the house of God and said, well, I never saw it that way before. I never understood that passage, but now I do. Now the light has dropped in. And that light that is first given upon conversion, when the scales begin to drop from our eyes and we see things in a much different and a much clearer light than we've ever seen them before. And we cannot understand as we look back, why didn't we see these things before? Why were we so blind to these glorious truths? And there are those that contend against certain parts of the Bible. Well, why is it that they cannot see the truth of what's written there? It is because they're in darkness and not in light. It may be a good man, and yet his eyes are blinded to a certain portion of Scripture. So I've often said the best of men are men at best. We're all fallen creatures. But nevertheless, the Lord is able to give us light. But it is to walk not in the darkness, but in the light. Walking, again, means motion. When a person walks somewhere, they have a purpose of getting to a certain place. And so the Christian walk is a necessary walk, if you like, to get to glory at last. And it must be a consistent walk. We cannot be religious today and irreligious tomorrow. We cannot attend church this week and not next week. We cannot obey Christ in certain commandments and not in other commandments. Because when we turn aside in anything from the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, then we're in darkness. He is the light of life. And he gives life unto his people. He that followeth me. See how he puts it. We're not to follow the apostles. We're not to follow God's ministers. However good these men might be, we're to be consistent in following the Lord Jesus Christ. And in the Hebrews, the apostle puts this. Remember them which have the rule over you, which have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. And then again, he says, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. we are to follow then. We are to follow in that one way. There are not a number of ways to come to heaven. Some people seem to jest that it doesn't matter which way we go as long as we get to the right place at the end. Well, if there is only one right path, then all others must lead astray, must take people to their wrong destination. And I wonder how many at the end of their days are deceived, thinking that they were on the right road, only to find that they come to a dead end and there is no way for them to get to heaven. But if we follow Christ, we are sure to come to the right place. We are sure to reach our destination. We are sure that in every part of the journey, we are going right. Because if we follow Christ, we can't be wrong. We can't go astray. Looking unto Jesus as the author and finisher of our faith, it is the Lord Jesus Christ which is preeminent in the scriptures, and he is to be preeminent in our hearts and in our lives. We are to walk as the saints of God have always walked, walking in the footsteps of the flock, following our covenant head. This is the way, said the Lord Jesus Christ, walk ye in it. What a mercy then, to know that we are walking right, to know that the Lord is our divine director, that he shows us the way which we are to go, and that we are made willing. And isn't this a wonderful thing, that we're not forced into following the Lord Jesus Christ? We're not overly constrained even to follow him. We are made willing in the day of his power. There seems to me so many speak of conversion, but don't really know what the word means. Conversion is a lifelong experience of following the Lord Jesus Christ whithersoever he would have us to go. Some people have to leave their native land and go to far off places. Some people are put in the most difficult situations. And if you think of the martyrs of old, what they had to endure for Christ and for the gospel's sake. We read of those that willingly took the spoiling of their goods for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Whatever the pathway is that God has called us to, the great thing is this: however difficult it may be, however dangerous it may be, however long it may be, however wearisome it may be, we are to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Follow thou me. And when we keep Christ in view, then we are blessed indeed. When we lose sight of a glorious Saviour, then we are in great danger. We recede into the darkness, and it's gloomy in our souls. Oh, that we may then look to him, that we may trust in him, that we may obey him, that we may do everything that he would have us to do, and that we may say, not my will, but thine be done. What are we willing to do for Christ? What are we willing to do to follow him? This is a great question. It's an enormous question. But we need to have an answer. We need to be able to say, either we're willing or we're unwilling. And rest assured that those that remain unwilling to the end of their days will never get to heaven. Christ will say, I never knew you. Oh, may the Spirit of God stir us up, stir up the spirit of our minds, and give us great desires. Lord, I am willing. Do come. Come and direct me in thy way and help me to follow thee through the end of my days, because I desire to be with thee, not only now, but in the future and forever and ever. Oh, may we hear the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then spake Jesus again unto them, as he speaking to us, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Not just life here below, although that is a great blessing, to be given a good life, but eternal life. Life with Christ forever and ever. May the Lord bless his own word to us. For his name's sake, amen.